Welcome to the Shirin Targum Parshas Balak. A number of sponsors this evening. First of all, Yaakov Frankel, marking the yard site of his father, Joshua Frankel, Yoshua ben Ruvein, whose yard site is today. Shalom Shalom Aliyah, Shizimach Nachas Ruach, and the Tomer Sumaisim Tovim, the entire family is involved in. She is also sponsored by Dov and Shuli Tyler, marking the yard site of Shuli's father, longtime espali here in the shul, Mordechai Shmuel ben Shlomo Zalman, and the Neshamosh Martin Krinsky, the Neshamosh Evan Aliyah, Shizim Mosh Nachas Ruach, the Tomer Sumaisim Tovim, the families involved in. Aaron and Ruven Goldman independently are both each sponsoring in memory of their father and grandfather, respectively, Shimon ben Dovber. His yard site is also today, the Neshama Shel Aven Aliyah, Shimach Nachas Ruach, and the Tomer Sos Meisim Tov, and the families involved in. And finally, I just want to mention as well, Chanan Rachel Abramowitz, sponsored yesterday for the yard site of Rachel's father, Avram ben Yirmiyahu, and the Neshama Shel Aven Aliyah, Shimach Nachas Ruach, and the Tomer Sos Meisim Tov, and that the families are involved in. Oftentimes we find that the Targum Onkelos in particular tends to translate very, very literally. You know, every week we look for little nuances, little wrinkles in the Targum Onkelos where he, you know, shows a little bit of a deviation from the simple reading of the Pasuk or a particular take on how to read the Pasuk. When it comes to Parshas Balak, so not only does the Targum Yonos and Uziel speak more extensively in giving us extra material and understanding the Pesukim, but the Targum Onkelos as well does so. The Targum Onkelos in general, whenever there are, let's call them, for lack of a better term, poetic parts of the Chumash, so the Targum Onkelos tends to elaborate a lot more than he does typically. So, for instance, the Brachos of Yaakov Avinu, the Brachos of Moshe Rabbeinu, and here the would-be Klalos turned Brachos of Bilam are given a more extensive treatment of the Targum Onkelos. He talks about, he helps us understand what they mean. Just to translate them literally is a very difficult thing. And we'll see the Targum Onkelos as well as the Targum Yonos and Uziel has a lot to say on those brachos. So I want to start just with the first of the brachos uttered by Bilam HaRasha. In Perchav Gimel, Pasuk Zayin, after setting everything up to curse the Jewish people, of course we know that he blesses them. He began his mashal, his words, and he said, Min Aram, Yanchini Balak, Melech Moav, Mehari Rekedem. Balak, the king of Moav, brought me from Aram, from the mountains of the east, and he said to me, Lecha Aro Li Yaakov, Ulecha Zoamo Yisrael. Go curse for me, Yaakov, and go bring anger against Yisrael. Ma ekov lo kabo keil. How can I curse that which is not cursed by God? Uma ezom lo zoam Hashem. And how can I bring about anger against that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't have anger against? Again, as we very often find in Psukim and Tanakh, there seems to be a certain parallelism in the Pasuk. Bilam is asked to curse the Jewish people and to bring anger against them. And in both cases he says, I can't curse what Hashem didn't curse. I can't bring anger against that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not bring anger against. It's very interesting to note that neither the Targum Onkelos nor the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel translate the word za'am in both of these psukim as referring to anger. The simple literal translation of the word za'am is anger. So ulcha zo'amo Yisrael means go and bring down the anger of Hashem against Israel. And mo'ezom lo zo'am Hashem, again, would seem to translate literally as how can I make Hashem angry at the Jewish people when in point of fact, he is not angry. He is not angered against the Jewish people. But neither the Targum Onkelos nor the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel translate the words in that way. The Targum Onkelos is a very interesting translation. He says, Bilam said, Isa lot li Yaakov. Balak told me, go and lotli, curse for me, Yaakov. That much is a literal translation. V'isa tarech li Yisrael, and go drive away the Jewish people. Tarech, interestingly enough, is the same root in Aramaic as to divorce, to drive away utterly, to sever a relationship. Right? So that's the anger which is being described in the Pasuk. The Targum Onkelos says, Balak told Bilam, go and drive Klal Yisrael away from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Make a wedge between them which can never be repaired. And to that, Bilam says, Ma'elute d'lolat yekel, how can I curse that which is not cursed by Hashem? Uma asarche d'lotarche Hashem, and how can I drive away that which Hashem has not driven away? So it's very interesting to note, he does not interpret the Pasuk in a literal fashion. The word za'am, anger, is reinterpreted by the Targum Onkelos to mean divorce. How can I drive away? How can I sever the relationship where HaKadosh Baruch Hu has not severed the relationship himself? And of course that's very interesting, because the Targum Onkelos, we know, is generally so devoted to simple pshat, you know, to literal translations. The fact that he deviates from the literal translation over here raises questions. Why does he do that? What prompts him to deviate from the literal translation? Before we try to come back and answer that, let's take a look at the Yonos Eben Uziel, where he's more accustomed to deviating from the literal translation. But here too, it's just interesting how he does it. So Bilam says, Balak told me, Isolot begini de Beis Yaakov, go curse on my behalf the house of Yaakov, v'isa za'er li Yisrael, and go minimize the Jewish people, za'er a little bit, go minimize the Jewish people, do something to make them smaller. And to that, Bilam responds, ma'anolo eitu memri ad Hashem mevarech yoson, how can I curse them when Hashem has blessed them? U'ma'ano miza'er u'memri ad Hashem maske yoson, how can I minimize the Jewish people when HaKadosh Baruch Hu has promised that they will become numerous? So again, anger is reinterpreted by the Yonos Eben Uziel as somehow related to the word minimizing, right? So what prompts both Targumim to move away from the literal translation and to introduce different understandings in their stead? So perhaps one can suggest that both Targumim are wrestling with the following issue. I understand what it means for Hashem to curse the Jewish people. You know, for Bilam to draw down the curse of Hashem. It's something, even if we don't understand exactly how the curses of Hashem work, but it's something discrete. It's a discrete action which Hashem is being asked to do. Then Bilam follows up by saying, Balak told me, curse the Jewish people and get Hashem angry at them. So what does that mean, get Hashem angry at them? In other words, what's implied in the anger of Hashem, which is not already covered by the idea of Hashem cursing them? I mean, obviously, if Hashem is cursing the Jewish people, Rachmanu Litzlan, it implies some kind of anger that Hashem is engaging in. So the anger, especially because the anger is the second verb in the Pasuk, must be something even worse than a curse. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being asked by Bilam is being asked by Balak, go get Hashem, A, to curse the Jewish people, and then to do something even worse to the Jewish people, which is described as za'am, which is described as anger. What could be worse than cursing the Jewish people? So to that, the Targum Onkelos says, the only thing one can imagine that's worse than cursing the Jewish people is cutting off the Jewish people, getting rid of the Jewish people. In other words, severing the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael, divorcing them. I mean, again, that's the term that he uses. So, you know, the ultimate expression, anger is such an amorphous term. What's the, you know, tachlis, what does the anger mean? So the Targum Onkelos says, the only thing that's worse than cursing the Jewish people is to cut off the relationship between Hashem and the Jewish people. Now, this is a very fascinating idea, I think, because I think when we read the simple psukim and we talk about what it is that Balak wanted to do to the Jewish people, the impression that you have is that he primarily he wanted to cause them physical harm in some way. In other words, they were a threat, or he perceived them as being a threat, so he wanted to hurt them so they wouldn't be a threat. He wanted to do something to them to hurt them in a physical sense. The emphasis of the Targum Onkelos is not so much on the physical hurting of the Jewish people, but it's about severing them spiritually from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's really what Balak ultimately is about. You know, Balak is saying to Bilam, yeah, I want you to, you know, neutralize them so that they don't cause a threat to us, but I want you to do something that Hashem is going to drive them away, that Hashem is going to break his relationship with them. So to speak, again, Kavayachal, he's going to divorce the Jewish people. It's not just about neutralizing a potential threat and getting rid of Klal Yisrael's threat on a physical level. Balak is very, very interested in neutralizing the spirituality of Klal Yisrael, and that's basically what he's hiring Bilam to do, to cut off that relationship between Hashem and the Jewish people, to which Bilam responds, if Hashem doesn't want to get rid of them and divorce them, how could I possibly be the one, you know, to get Hashem to do that sort of thing? We understand, according to this Targum Onkelos, in greater detail, you know, that which the psukim and which Chazal fill in at the end of the parasha. So Bilam is unsuccessful in cursing the Jewish people, but he tells, again, according to Chazal's understanding of the psukim, he tells Balak, look, you know, this klala idea didn't really work out very well, but if you want to get Hashem mad at them and undermine them spiritually, so guess what? There's this thing called Benos Moav, you know, which will bring into the picture over here, and the licentiousness is ultimately going to be the undoing of the Jewish people, right? Where do we see that there was an interest in undermining the spirituality of the Jewish people? So again, this Targum Onkelos points to that fact. You know, Bilam was asked by Balak, do something to cause Hashem to sever his relationship with the Jewish people. Right? I think a similar thing underscores the Yonos Ben Uziel. The Yonos Ben Uziel says, okay, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, Balak asks Bilam, go get Hashem to curse the Jewish people, and then do something else. What's that other thing that he's going to do? Reduce them. Right? Here the emphasis is more on the physical threat that they pose, but, okay, you know, the tachlis of the curse is reducing the Jewish people. If they're reduced to a small number of people, they won't be a threat anymore. To which Bilam responds, how can I reduce that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu said explicitly, you know, is going to be a nation which is going to have many, many people. So right off the bat, there's that interesting notion that we have over here. In the next pasuk, when Bilam says, how can I possibly curse them? He says, Ki mirosh tsurim erenu, umigvos ashurenu. I see the Jewish people from the top of mountains, from the top of hills, where Rashi brings from the Tanchuma, what does it mean? So what? So you're standing at the top of the hill looking at the Jewish people. What's significant about that? So Rashi brings from the Tanchuma, Ani mistakil biroshisam, I look at the origins of the Jewish people, v'tchilas sharasheyem, I see the beginning of their roots. What are the roots of the Jewish people? Ani roe elsam yusadim v'chazokim kitzur mugvos halolu. I see the Jewish people well established and strong, like these mighty rocks and these mighty cliffs, these mighty mountains. Al yedei avos v'imos, right? The fathers and mothers of the Jewish people, the avos and the imos are the bedrock of the Jewish people, and therefore I see that it's very difficult, if not impossible, to do something to harm the Jewish people. The Yonos HaBen Uziel follows suit over here. Amar Bilam Rashia. Bilam HaRashia said, Mistakel ano ba'amo hadein. I look at this people. Dehinon midabrim b'schus avoshon. They are led by the merit of their forefathers, Tzadikaya, their righteous forefathers, the Mesilin Tavraya. The righteous forefathers of the Jewish people are compared to mountains. Uvishchus imoshon. And they are led by the merit of their mothers, the Mesilin Liglimasa, who are compared again to the hills. And then the pasuk continues, Hen Am Levadad Yishkan Uvagoyim Lo Yischashov. It is a nation that will dwell alone, and will not be counted among the nations. What does that mean? It's a nation that dwells alone will not be counted among the nations. So the Targum Onkelos writes as follows, and he says, Ha'ama bilechudeyon asidun diachsanun alma. This is a nation which in the future will inherit the earth. In other words, Pen Om Levadad Yishkon is a prediction about the future, which, by the way, fits the simple reading of the pasuk. Yishkon is future tense, right? So this is a nation which will be badad, which will be alone. Why will they be alone? In other words, they will be the only superpower in the entire world. They're gonna, you know, the Jewish people are going to rule over the world in its entirety, and that's something that's going to happen in the end of days. Uvagoyim lo yischashov, and they will not be counted among the nations, says the Targum Onkelos. Uva amamaya lo yitadadun gemera, and they will not be condemned to destruction among the other nations of the world. So uvagoyim lo yischashov again is describing something that's going to happen in the future. Yischashov will be counted, will be considered. According to the Targum Onkelos, means they won't be judged. When God comes to judge the earth at the end of time, he will judge all of the other nations negatively, but the Jewish people will not be included in that negative judgment. We will survive that Yom HaDin, that day of judgment, and we will ultimately prevail over all of the nations in the world. So according to the Targum Onkelos, that's Bilam HaRasha looking into the future and seeing the ultimate dominion of the Jewish people and the fact that Klal Yisrael are going to rise to the top. So just continuing on the idea which he had said before, how can you expect me, Balak, to curse the Jewish people or to drive them away from Hashem? Hashem has actually promised that if all the not only will they not be cursed, but of all the nations, they'll be the ones on top at the end of time. You know, certainly I'm not in a position to drive them away from Hashem when Hashem has promised that he's going to bring them to this incredible state.
Isn't there a short term?
Right, but I guess, you know, if you drive them away, the implication is that it's going to be something permanent. Right? In other words, if they're driven away from Hashem, the implication is that there will be a permanent severance. Again, lahavdil elef alfei avdolos, but I mean that is the Christian claim about what happened to the Jewish people, right? You know, we were the chosen people, the ex-chosen people, right? And God chose us, and then he got rid of us, and, you know, it was nice knowing you, right? That is the Christian claim. I mean, again, basically what according to the Targum Onkelos, Balak was asking Bilam to do was to put into practice what the Christians claim actually happened. And Bilam's response to that is, that can't be. That's not going to happen because HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually has promised that we're going to be the chosen people forever and ever and ever. And when, you know, the end of days come, we're going to be on the top of the pile. So, you know, how could it be that our chosenness is going to be rejected? No, our chosenness, our notion that we're the Am HaNivchar, is going to last till the end of time. Right? So that's what's going on over here. Okay, but in other words, there can be times where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry at us, but as the Nevi'im stress, I mean, Yirmiyahu HaNavi says this outright in the beginning of Perek Gimel in Yirmiyahu, I never gave a get to the Jewish people, Hashem says, right? Yishayahu HaNavi says this also. In other words, Hashem can be angry at us, you know, again, lahavdil, you can have a husband and wife who fight with one another, that can happen. But there's a big difference between the husband and wife who are fighting with one another and the relationship being, you know, brought to an end. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm never divorcing the Jewish people. We can have ups and downs, you know, but I'm never going to divorce the Jewish people. We're always going to be together. So interestingly, Rashi, when he interprets this pasuk, he writes kitargumo. As Rashi very often does, especially here in the Brachos of Bilam, he says, look at the Targum Onkelos. That's one way to interpret this pasuk. And then he brings Dover Achir. Rashi brings another way to interpret this pasuk, which is as follows. Kishehen smechin, ein umos smecha imahem. When the Jewish people are happy, none of the other nations are happy with us. Right? If you don't know what that means, just read the news. Right? In other words, Klal Yisrael are happy about something. Okay, that means everybody else is unhappy. Right? Shenemar Hashem Bodog Yanchenu. Hashem leads us alone. Ukshaumos Betova. And when the nations of the world are doing well and they're happy about something, Heim Ochlin im kol echad ve echad ve ein olalehem min acheshbon ve zeu vagoyim lo yischashov. Right, the nations can eat with everybody, but it doesn't count. You know, Klal Yisrael are not a part of that celebration. So, according to the second Pshat Rashi, Hein Am Levador Yishkon of Agoyim Lo Yischashov, Klal Yisrael is a nation dwelling alone and not counted among the nations. It's not a reference to what's going to be in the future. It's a reference to the way Klal Yisrael conducts itself now. We are not quite integrated, or maybe we're not integrated at all into the rest of the world. We're off to our side, off to the side by ourselves. We're not reckoned among the rest of the nations. We don't just assimilate into everybody else. We maintain our own way of doing things. And that's not a comment about the future, according to the second Pshat in Rashi. That's a comment about the here and now, you know, the way Klal Yisrael conducts itself now. That second Pshat makes its way into the Targum Yonasan Ruziel, who sort of puts together these two Pshatim in Rashi. Right, Yonasan Ruziel writes as follows. Ha'ama bilchudein asir l'michsan alma. This is a nation in the future. Right, again, hen am levadad yishkon. In the future, this nation will inherit the earth, will rule over the rest of the earth. That's future tense, the same way the Targum Onkelos explained it. What's uvagoyim lo yischashav? Mitol, on account of debenimuse umaya lo medabrin. On account of the fact that we don't walk in the ways of the non-Jews. Uvagoyim lo yischashav. Meaning, yishkon is future tense. Yischashav is present tense. I'm sorry?
Also future,
but in other words, you know, the focus is on the present tense. In other words, because right now, you know, we, Klal Yisrael, don't walk in the ways of the nations, you know, because we maintain a certain separate, we're separate, we don't engage in b'chuk oseyem, following the ways of the nations, v'agoyim lo yischashov, therefore in the future, hein om levodod yishkon, that's going to bring us to the point where we're able, you know, to have this supremacy over the rest of the world at the end of time, right? So it's sort of a combination of, you know, two different ways, you know, two different tenses, so to speak, in terms of understanding the pasuk. Mimono afar Yaakov umispar Yisrael vayisrael. Who has counted the dust of Yaakov and the number of the rova of Yisrael? What is this a reference to? So here there's a lot of discussion, both in the Targumim as well as in other Mefarshim as well. Targum Onkelos writes as follows: Mimono afar Yaakov, miyikol lemimne dat de kiyaya deves Yaakov, da amir alehon yiskon kaafra de ara. Who can count the children, the small ones of Klal Yisrael, about whom it was said they should increase like the dust of the earth? There's so many children being born to Klal Yisrael that, you know, it's a fulfillment of the promise that was made to Yaakov Avinu, v'hoya zaracha kafar ha'aretz. Your children are going to be as numerous as the dust, you know, something which is unable, to be counted. Right, so it's an expression of the sheer number of Klal Yisrael. The Yonasan ben Uziel on this phrase, Mimona Afar Yaakov, brings a very interesting pshat. Vahava, kevon dechamo bilom chayov de beis Yisrael, havun gozrin, I'm sorry, vahava kadchamo bilom chayov, when bilom harosho sua, the Beis Yisrael havu gazrin or las hon v'tamrin ba'afro de madbira. He saw that when Klal Yisrael would perform bris milah, they would take the orlos, they would take the foreskins, and bury them in the dust of the desert? Omar, he said, Man yikul lemimre zachvaso chasinayo ha'ilein. Who can count these incredible schusim, these incredible merits that the Jewish people have? Mimono, who can count Afar Yaakov, the schusim, that are related to the notion of burying the Orla in the earth? Now, let's just talk about this for a little bit, right? So clearly, Bilam is describing how he saw the Orlos of Klal Yisrael buried in the earth, buried in the dust of the desert. So this statement of the Deonis of Ben Uziel is ultimately based on a Pirkei de Rebbe Lezer, one of the oldest midrashim we have. The Pirkei de Rebbe Lezer says that Bilam looked, again, how you see this, I don't know exactly. Bilam looked in the desert and he saw that the Orlos, the foreskins of Klal Yisrael that had been taken off by the Bris Milah, were buried all throughout the desert. And he was blown away by this fact. He was very moved by this fact. And he said, this fact that the Orlos are buried in the sand stands Klal Yisrael in good stead and is a source of merit for Klal Yisrael. So how could I possibly curse the Jewish people whose Orlos are buried, whose foreskins are buried throughout the desert? What's going on with that? Foreskins buried in the desert? What's going on? So, in lieu of answering the question, because I have to talk about this a little bit more tomorrow night, let's just note the following. In Halacha, it's brought that the Arla, after the Bris Milah, is supposed to be placed into dirt or sand or the like, and ultimately buried. And the post can point out that although this isn't a Halacha, strictly speaking, in other words, it's not a Halacha that's found in the Gemara, but nonetheless, it seems to be an ancient minog, as we see here from the Yonos of Menuziel and the Pirkei de Rebbe Lezer, a minog that goes back to the very time of Moshe Rabbeinu himself, right? And apparently this minog makes a tremendous roshem, a tremendous impression on Bilam HaRasha to the point where he mentions it during the course of his brachos. What's so striking about this minog? Bez Hashem will pick up tomorrow and try to give a little bit of an explanation as to what's going on over here.
The Bris Milah was done prior to Yetzias Mitzrayim, so they can get out of Mitzrayim. They can eat the carbon paste. They had all had to do Bris Milah. And then I understand that for many, many years they could not.
They didn't do it, right. So which orlas did he see exactly?
Yeah, they were sure, then mauled them again. Right. Sure. So what right. was he looking at?
Right. So Bez Hashem, stay tuned tomorrow.
Okay,
well that's it. Okay, you'll just have to come up with the answer on your own. Bez Hashem, we'll talk about that tomorrow. What was he looking at? What was it? They didn't do Bris Milah in the Midbar, so we'll try to talk about that tomorrow as well. Ruchana Merakasha Omer Ratz Hakadosh Baruch Hu Lezakos Es Yisrael Lefikach Hirbo Lohem Torah Umitzvos Shenemar.